Hello and welcome to Euractiv's Agri-Food Podcast. I'm Gerardo Fortuna.
And I'm Natasha Fitt.
And here's your weekly update on all things agriculture and food in the EU from Euractiv's Agri-Food team.
So we're approaching a big week. It's a big week coming up next week, a big CAP week. I feel like we say this a lot, but it is
This time is for real.
This time is the real deal. What's going on next week, Gerardo? Enlighten us.
It's the Common Agricultural Policy crunch time. We're talking about the so-called Jumbo Trilogue, which is basically this two-day meeting.
Extravaganza.
Yeah. Two-day, let's see if it will be a two-day meeting.
Two- or three-day meeting, shall we say. Yeah,
that will basically decide the fate of the Common Agricultural Policy dossier, because the EU negotiators, so basically the Portuguese presidency and the rotating EU presidency and the negotiators for the European Parliament, will try to strike a final deal on the reform of the EU's farming subsidies.
Do you remember that time we started to rather optimistically use the hashtag final cap down? And I think we need to bring that back with this is the actual final cap down now.
Yeah, the actual final cap down, indeed.
And talking about using the hashtag final cap down, we used that for a very successful live blog that that we ran. When was it that we had it? Back in
November?
Back in November?
Or the end of October?
And off the back of that success, bearing in mind that we're facing a pretty complex week ahead of us with all these trilogues and everything that's going on, we decided to bring back the live blog. So Euractiv has you covered all the twists and turns of all the fun that's going to happen over the marathon that is next, the next CAP week. We have your backs covered. We will be running a live blog with reactions, comments, and all the latest news. So be sure to look out for that next week so that you know exactly what's going on.
And most of all, leaks.
And leaks, yes.
We will try to bring you inside the room. Thanks Indeed. To our sources.
Big promises, Gerardo. Yeah, you better deliver on these promises now, because it's binding. You said it on the podcast now.
Of course.
And leading us into this big jumbo week that we have next week, the Jumbo Trilogue, who better to have as a guest than the man who coined the term Jumbo Trilogue himself? So our guest this week is none other than the EU Agricultural Commissioner, Janusz Wojciechowski, and we spoke to him about all things CAP reform and more. So Commissioner, thank you so much for being here on the podcast with us today.
I want, of course, to start with the main issue on the table, which is the reform of the Common Agricultural Policy. So the crunch time for the CAP reform is set to play out next week on 25th and 26th of May in what you called in a tweet the Jumbo Trilogue, so this super final meeting. However, the rotating EU presidency currently held by Portugal has been criticized to play very much on defensive, not conceding anything in a view of a last-minute deal. So what do you think about that? And also, do you see some risks for a final deal from the fact that the trilogue will coincide with the Agri-Fish Councils? I mean, some say that this could potentially increase the negotiators around the table, allowing other ministers to influence the talk. So what do you think about that?
I'm optimistic that I think that this trilogue next week will be successful and we will achieve the compromise. We are close to the final compromise. The Portuguese presidency is very active to achieve the compromise. Of course, this is not easy for the presidency, which is representing 27 member states, and they have the mandate of 27 member states, but this mandate is limited, and I understand the Portuguese presidency position, but we are going to the right direction. And we speak a few days before this trilogue, but I hope that it will be a successful trilogue. There are not very serious controversies now we have. That discussion during last month was effective. And
So one of the thorniest issues remaining in the cap reform negotiations is this issue of social conditionality, which actually wasn't originally a commission proposal. So I'm wondering, what is your take on this? I mean, for example, there's been a lot of criticism about how it may lead to increased red tape. Is this a valid concern in your opinion? And do you consider that social conditionality may be outside the remit of the cap, as some critics have suggested?
As a representative of the Commission, I declared my support for the idea to the social conditionality, that this is the important to take into account also the how the beneficiaries respect the worker rights, the social standards, not only environmental standards, not only the climate, animal welfare, but treatment of the people is, of course, that this is very, very important. The problem is how to include this conditionality into the CAP, because there is something different system of control. There are special institutions for audit, like labor inspection. But we discuss about the technical problems, how to include the social conditionality into the CAP. Probably it will be not clear, the conditionality like environmental conditionality, but also I'm optimistic that we will include the social conditionality into the CAP.
And from one tricky point to another, the eco scheme. So it seems that in the end, the Parliament and the Council will meet halfway. Do you think that the Portuguese proposal, which is basically progressively reaching 25%, is satisfactory for the Commission? And also, what do you reply to those who hinted at the fact that eco schemes are not compatible with the WTO rules?
Commission position is about the percentage of the eco schemes as much as possible. And I don't like to say about the percentage now, that's of course, the compromise also is probably will be necessary to find a compromise between the council position, which is 20%, and parliament position, 30%. Parliament position is supported by the Commission. And eco-schemes, this is a very important part of the green architecture in the CAP reform. About the WTO, that I had yesterday the meeting with Madame Director General Ivala, the Director General of the WTO, who discussed about this Green Deal in European agriculture, and also about the eco-schemes. I explained that eco-schemes, this is not support for the production. This is support for the farmers, for their action, for the climate, for the environment, for the animal welfare. And it should be not a problem with WTO's standards, because this is support, but not for the production. This is support for the farmers who pay additional costs for higher standards of for environment and for the climate.
And the Commission has really been a key player in the game kind of during the CAP negotiations, which has sometimes drawn criticism for being maybe too intrusive. For example, when Vice President Timmermans threatened to scrap the proposal. So I'm wondering, how did you overcome these initial frictions, and did you manage to make up?
I have a good cooperation with Vice President Timmermans, who is responsible generally for the European Green Deal. Green Deal in agriculture is the part of the European Green Deal as a general project. And we are going to the same direction. My intention is to make European agriculture more friendly for environment, for climate, for animal welfare, but also to make the common agriculture policy more friendly for the farmers. And in my point of view, this is no controversy between these values. And it's possible to have more environmental friendly farming, and it would be good for the farmers, especially for small and medium-sized family farms. The Green Deal eco-schemes, like organic farming, short supply chain, a lot of actions which are proposed in the first pillar, in the second pillar of the CAP. This is the new chance for the small and medium-sized farms. These farms who are now under pressure of the more and more intensive farming, like sometimes industrial farming, and in normal conditions, they are not able for the competition with intensive farming. Thanks to the support from the Green Deal instruments, they have chance to be competitive. As a organic farmers, as a farmers participating in the short supply chain, et cetera. This is the chance, especially for the small and medium-sized farmers. And this is the reason that there is no problems with my cooperation with Vice President Timmermans, who is responsible for all Green Deal.
At the same time, we can say that there's this a bit of overlapping between the DG Agri and DG Envi. Sometimes it seems they have different interests. As you said, you're representing farmers, but the same thing we're kind of experiencing in the parliament, where the Envi committee and the Agri committee sometimes clash. So how to cope with this potential dualism in the future?
This is not a serious problem in my point of view. For example, there was a lot of concerns about the eco schemes from the farmers. That's eco schemes, it will be the farmers will be forced for the higher standards. It will be very costly for them. But when we presented our vision of the eco schemes, which was presented a few months ago, that this is not exhaustive list, but this is some proposals for the eco schemes. It was the reason that we have the less concerns from the farmers. The farmers understands well, better what is our vision of the eco schemes. This is not conflict between the eco schemes and other environmental actions and farmers' interests. Majority of farmers have additional chance thanks to this green architecture in the CAP. I think it will be acceptable by majority of farms. Maybe for the industrial farming, that very intensive farming, they will be not satisfied. But majority of our farmers, European model of agriculture is based on the family farming, and I think that it should be profitable for them.
And actually, on that topic of small farmers, you've already mentioned here about this being a new chance for small farmers, and you've been very outspoken in the past about the importance of small farmers. But you've also previously criticised the previous CAP for its role in contributing to the EU-wide loss of family and small-scale farms. So as it stands, do you see that this CAP reform offers enough support for small farmers? And in your opinion, have the shortcomings of the previous CAP that you criticized before been addressed in this CAP reform?
Generally, the common agriculture policy, this is the success story that thanks of this almost 60 years of this policy, we have food security in the European Union. Also during the pandemic, our food system was able to ensure the food security for all EU citizens. But there is a problem of the concentration of the production, concentration of land. Now we have the situation that 52% of land is owned by the only 3% of the land owners. And we lost just after enlargement, big enlargement 2004, in the next decade, the number of farms in European was reduced from 14 million to about the 10 million. We lost 4 million small farms during one decade. And it was not a good process because we need also the small farms for many reasons. One of them is the sustainable development of the rural areas to avoid the population of the rural areas. It's very important to give possibility, to give opportunity for small farmers to exist. And yes, there was some mistakes in the previous CAP. For example, the system of to invest for development of the big animal farms, like in pig farming country, which I know best, my home country, Poland. The 15 years ago, there was about 800,000 pig farms. Now there is 10 times less. This is 80,000. But the process is going all time to the one direction. Less number of farms and bigger farms, animal farms. We need to control better this process and to give the chance for the small farmers to exist also in the animal production. Because there is a lot of negative aspects when the animal farming is too much concentrated. Also the problem for the food security, because we can observe there's big problems, for example, with animal diseases like avian influenza. The last time there was many big farms was affected by this influenza, and it's necessary to liquidate millions of laying hands in these farms. It's very high cost, economical cost also for environment. They are big problems. Finally speaking, that we need more sustainable development of our agriculture and policy expenditure. First pillar, maybe the second pillar, investment finance from the second pillar should be better targeted to the small and medium-sized farms, because many times they were excluded from the financial support. There was preference for the big farms and not for small farms. It should be changed. And as a commissioner, it was one of my priorities to strengthen the support for the small and medium-sized farmers.
And more personal question, if I may. You quite famously engage a lot on Twitter, I mean, much more so than your counterparts in the Commission. So why is that you use this platform so much? And this has sometimes led to some controversies. And has this criticism made you rethink your use of this platform?
No, the Twitter is a very useful platform for the discussion with the farmers. Now that we have limited possibilities for meetings with the farmers, at the beginning of my mandate, I had a lot of meetings with the farmers during, for example, the Green Week in Berlin, during the Salon Agriculture in Paris, in Austria, that I visited farms, the organic farmers in Austria, for example. It is very important to have direct contact with farmers. It is my priority to have the intensive contact with the farmers, because the pandemic, this contact was limited, and Twitter contact is very useful to exchange the views with the farmers. I think that this contact is valuable for both sides. For me, this is I receive the signals, what is the farmers' expectation, what they think about our proposals, and also this is opportunity to explain better our intention for the farmers. Discussion is as always the in the normal during the physical meetings, the discussion with farmers is also not easy, but the same on the Twitter, but I will continue this dialogue with the farmers using this platform.
Yeah, we've definitely found Twitter to be a very useful platform as well for us during this pandemic. But on the theme of Twitter, after a heated Twitter exchange recently, the president of EU Farmers Association, Kopeka Jeka, recently said that EU farmers no longer felt represented by you. In your mind, how do you see the role as EU Agricultural Commissioner, and who do you consider that you represent? And also, you've already spoken about this relationship with EU farmers, but how do you see your relationship with EU farmers?
this opinion, it was expressed, if I remember well, after the discussion about the parliamentary debate on the cage system in the poultry sector and laying hens. But after that, I had a meeting with the Copa Cogeca Presidium, and I think all the problems were explained during this meeting, and I have the good contact with Copa Cogeca. Of course, we discussed. Discussion is sometimes not easy, but we have good contact. As a commissioner, then maybe the problem is that my obligation is to be to represent all farmers in European Union, because sometimes I can observe the tendency to prefer the big farmers to represent their interests, but my obligation is to represent all European farmers, and also to have approach as a for all European citizens, because agriculture is important not only for farmers, for 460 million European citizens. They need agriculture, they need food security, they want to have environmental friendly farming, and this is my obligation. First obligation is to take care about the farmers, but with a larger vision of the problems.
And let's get back to the main topic, the common agricultural policy. From the very beginning of the negotiations, you put the respect of the Green Deal targets as or the Green Deal objectives as a Commission's red line. But some NGOs, particularly the environmental one, are insisting on this fact, saying that it's that these talks are not forging, are not shaping a cap that is fit for the Green Deal. Now that we are approaching the finishing line, do you think that this cap as it stands has the potential to be in line with the Green Deal?
Yes, we are going in line of the Green Deal during the negotiations, and the main elements of the green architecture will be included the CAP reform. And well, of course, not 100%. This is always in the negotiations. The Green Deal is a very ambitious plan, but I think that we are going to the right direction. But this is very important that not everything will be decided on the level of legislation, legislative package. The very important part of the reform will be the CAP strategic plans, national strategic plans. The national strategic plan, it will be document in which will be the concrete action, concrete programs for the individual member states. And this will be very important part of the reform, and also the dialogue with the member states. I know that it will be not easy, that the discussion will be difficult with the member states, because we have one of the problems, maybe the most serious problem, is that we have different starting points across the member states. That, for example, the greenhouse gas emission, which is a very important indicator of the consequences of the agriculture for the climate, for the environment. We have the average emission per hectare in European Union is 2.5 tons per hectare, but difference between member states is we have member states in which this is 1.3 tons per hectare, like in Bulgaria, or more than 7 tons like Belgium, or more than 10 tons like Netherlands. It will be the problem to find a fair approach for our requirement from the member states. And my expectation is that member states with high level of the emission, high level of use of pesticides, high level of use of antimicrobials would be more ambitious, and the expectation is more action from this member states who have high level of the emissions of the use of pesticides, fertilizers, etc.
And talking now about the future of the cap, so beyond this cap reform, I'm wondering what your take is on the fact that parts of the UK in a kind of post-Brexit move have decided to do away with direct payments completely and instead focus much more on rural development and payments for ecosystem services. Is this the right move, in your opinion, for the future of farming? And do you see a kind of similar direction for the future of the cap, with far fewer direct payments and much more emphasis on rural development?
I don't want to comment the decision of the UK government and the their policy, but in European Union, the direct payment system has a long history. And according to the last study prepared by the Commission about the impact of the CAP measures on the general objective available food production, it was published a few days ago. We need to support our farmers. We need to maintain the system of direct payment because it is a very important system to have the farmers. Because the problem in European Union is, for example, lack of generational renewal. It's very difficult to encourage the young people to be a farmers. There is a problem with succession in the family farming. The farmers' children don't like to be the farmers, because this is a very difficult job with high risk, and we need to support farmers. Without support, we will not have farmers in European Union. This is no choice. We need to support our farmers. This is the question. This is situation in member states is different. In some member states, more important is direct payment. In others, the rural development programs. We need to have the balanced approach for this, but we need to support our farmers because the alternative is to stop the farming in the European Union. Without support, farmers are not able to exist, to continue their activity.
So it will be quite a hectic week for us. And if you want to follow all the developments, as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you need to tune in on your active website and check our live blog when we
Best
try.
Advice.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. try to bring you all the relevant information, development statements during the trilogue week, the CAP week. The CAP week will start on Tuesday with a full day trilogue. And then on Wednesday morning, there will be a first AgriFish session instead. And so basically a gathering of EU agricultural ministers that will be informed about the results of the trilogue the day before. And then there will be another trilogue session on Wednesday afternoon. And of course, again, in parallel, the ministers will be updated. Actually updated live by the Portuguese presidency. And let's see if they're going to find a deal on Wednesday evening. Otherwise, there's the possibility to have another day or maybe two of negotiations on Thursday.
Sounds like it, doesn't it? That it's fairly likely.
It's very likely. It's very
still
likely.
Over.
Yeah, because it's not just one big topic. We're talking about three regulations, so a lot of outstanding issues there, social conditionality, the CMO, so the Common Market Organization, so basically the wine markets, the new variety, the new grapevine, the eco scheme, of course, everything that we touched on during the interview with Commissioner Wojciechowski. But if you want to check all the outstanding issues, there's a CAP tracker on your active website where you can basically see what's at stake and what are the main issues that need to be sorted out in order to get a deal.
But before we leave you, we actually have another surprise up our sleeve with another guest this week as well, another distinguished guest. We're just full of them this week. Who else do we have on the podcast today, Gerardi?
Another protagonist of the CAP file she's the rapporteur for the horizontal regulation, one portion of the CAP. Ulrike Müller German MEP, Liberal German MEP, so it's an MEP for Renew Europe. We had an interview with her. You can find it online on Euractiv website. But we have a quick anticipation for our listener.
Sneak peek for you all.
Just for you. And let's hear what she said about the negotiations.
I know that we have a lot of small and family farms in Europe. They're really hard workers. They're working 7 days per week and say they look on her farms and thinking, what are you doing here in Brussels? I'm sure that they will not read the articles. They will choose some indicators, some eco-schemes, what is possible for her farm, what it's helpful in her system, if they produce crops or mice or they have animals. So it's different. And the farmers want to protect the nature. They want to help to have the biodiversity. And we have so many family farms, and these are in my focus. And so I think we have to show it from both sides, not only from our legislative side, from our policymaker side, also from the side what happens in the farms. And this is something what I want to bring in as an input as a family farmer. I always say that I think there are not so many MEPs there working on the weekend in the shed and milk the cows, so I do it. And I know what happens if a cow is ill and so on. So that's the balance between. I think we need the feeling. And I'm sure that we work next week really hard. We fight for our positions, but we have in our mind also the position from the small and from the family farms. They need income. They produce the best high quality of foods. So we have a great system in Europe, and we want to switch it for a more environmental sensible issues, and we will do it.
So that's all from us this week. And this week, the Euractiv Agri-Food podcast was produced, like every week, by Euractiv's Agri-Food news team. That's Gerardo Fortuna and Natasha Foote, with technical support from Euractiv's podcast producer, Evie Chiori. You can also find this podcast on all major streaming platforms. That includes Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher.
And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss the latest agriculture news from the EU. I'm Gerardo Fortuna. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.